And good Monday morning. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Regal Realty Group. Our man Chase McCabe is still on assignment, but the third part of this wonderful show, Dr. Crane, is back in studio today. Dr. Crane, good Monday to you, brother.
Good morning to you, Joseph. I am happy to be back. Running on some low sleep, but you know what? This is what makes the week even better.
Right. You're young, man. You got all that energy to do that. Now, where do you now Chaser's on vacation, on assignment. Where were you?
I was in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, okay. Well, yes. What were we doing out there?
For the NRL, the National Rugby League, for those that are listening into the Nashville radio, now they're probably thinking, what in God's green earth is that?
Yeah.
Australian rugby. It is kind of the NFL's equivalent for the Australian audience. It was first week ever they've ever come out to U.S. soil to play a game, and they have a contract for the next 5 years to have it somewhere in North America. I believe it all in the U.S., but I don't know if it's all going to be in Las Vegas every year. Hopefully, it kind of switch it around. First time ever being in Allegiant Stadium. Holy cow, that thing is massive. I mean, it's. I would like to get Jim White's opinion, you know, later on in the show, because
right.
he's been to Allegiant Stadium, so I would like to know his comparisons and stuff to, you know, what's there to expect with the new Titan Stadium. That's something good to ask about. But overall, the event was great. Vegas was cool. Probably just a bucket list thing. You check it off your list and be
sure.
done with it.
So you saw. So they played rugby.
They did.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It was interesting. I mean, I've been following it for the last year and a half or so when I used to work midnight shifts here. That was the only thing on it that would kind of keep me up, and it was
right.
just awesome, action packed. Like there were guys getting spat jobs on their ankles for tape during the game while it was still continually playing.
Wow.
That's one cool thing about it is it's a continual clock, and the players keep playing while there's an injury. Like there was a guy, he had like a massive gash on his head. They wrapped it in an ace bandage, wrapped it in like some electrical tape, and they kept going. It reminded me so much of like the early 2000s of the NFL, of just hard-nosed football, just hitting,
right.
just hitting. And I asked, funny enough, I asked an Australian spectator. And I was like, hey, like, what do you guys think about, you know, the NFL comparison to the NRL? And they asked me the same question. I was like, well, that's kind of what I thought. Is
right.
that it was old-school NFL football, hits.
I need to look up more on, I mean, I know what rugby is, but like the strategy and what's going on and all that, because people play, I mean, it's the subculture of rugby is huge.
It's massive. And I didn't know how big it was. And I'll tell you right now, Australian fans know how to party, Joe.
Oh, I bet they do.
And you know what? I was going to tell you this off the air, but I'll tell you now. It's fine.
Uh-oh.
But there was a doppelganger. I swear it was you.
Of me?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Had the beard and all. I was like, that is Joe Dubin. Couldn't
Poor
get
guy.
A picture, though. But
Why couldn't you get a picture?
Well, my brother, we were sitting down. I was eating some food. I was like, oh, where's my phone at? In my pocket. It was packed.
Well, now I know I have somebody on the planet I can pray for. Because if you look like me, oh, God, I will pray big time for you. Well, I'm glad you're back, buddy.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you, Joe.
While we're going, the Nashville Predators again, they have now won 8 straight games. And I love this. It's fantastic because, you know, when they left here 2.5 weeks ago after the loss to, I think it was Dallas 9-2, and word got out there canceling the U2 trip and all the chaos and people who – don't pay attention to hockey. We're now they canceled this concert. I mean, this team going to see U2, and people got upset, and people were laughing. Like, what in the world's going on? And now who's laughing? The Nashville Predators, 8 straight. This is taking on a story of its own. And I was asked this weekend about that. And I was like, look, I don't know that much about the entire world of NHL, but I know when you win, it feels good. When you win 8 games and get yourself back in the middle of the playoff race, that is simply fantastic. So we'll talk to Pete Weber. The great Pete Weber at 10:30 this morning. He'll join the Chase and Big Joe Show. We'll talk more about that. Then at 9:30, Jim White will join us. Combine is wrapping up. We'll talk to Jim and get a few thoughts about him, from him about the Combine. Also about Chris Mortensen passing away from ESPN. Probably one of the original insiders for the National Football League. And he passed away this weekend battling cancer for a long time. So we will talk about the Jim about that. All right, our question of the day, Dr. Crane. Now, this weekend I was out and about doing a lot of different things, and I had so many people ask me about the Titans draft and said, what are they going to do at number 7? And I said, well, I've made it very clear. I think you should take an offensive lineman. But the question of the day is, you are the Titans general manager. I'm talking to you right now. That's right. You're the Titans general manager. If that number 7 pick comes, right, and all the players are still available, Joe Alt, Malik Nabers is sitting there, Brock Bowers, who do you take? And I'm curious because I got a lot of opinions this weekend about who the Tennessee Titans are going to take at number 7. If everything stays the same and there's no chaos in the top 6 and nobody trading up, trading down at number 7, if you have a lineman, receiver, take the tight end, or just trade your way out of it, what will you do? And so it's crazy some of the reaction I got, which is fantastic. You guys are great. I just want to know. I mean, the combine's wrapping up. I want to know what you're going to take, who you think would be number 1 as the Titans go number 7. And it'd be kind of cool to hear your opinion. Anyway, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Hit us on the text line. You can call us. We'd love to hear from you as well, things that are going on. We'll get into the Predators. We'll get a few more things. Also, I saw this late last night that the NFL is going to change. Dr. Cram, we've talked about this. The kickoff rule in the NFL, they're talking about changing this. And now, a new kickoff rule crafted by NFL special teams coordinators, which I didn't think they had a voice, will allow teams to attempt an onside kick only when trailing in the fourth quarter and require them to declare in advance. This is just weird to me. If the kickoff team declares they're attempting an onside kick, they potentially could be allowed to utilize an unbalanced 6x4 formation to raise the odds of recovery, Tom Pelissero reported. This is a crazy stat from last year. Just 5% of onside kicks were recovered in 2023, and there were just 2 surprise onside kicks due to run-ups being banned. So if you're going to onside kick, are you surprised when team onside? I mean, sometimes you are. There's the kicker would kind of squib the ball over there a little bit, but I'm not surprised when a team onside kicks.
Well, I mean, with that rule you just read off, like it doesn't seem like the odds will increase because it's almost like teams will be expecting
right. An
onside kick at that point. And you said they can advance the ball after they recover it on
yeah. The
same play. So then, yeah, teams are going to double up or maybe even add more, you know, extra guys on that side of the field. And I don't think this is a good rule at all. This is kind of whack, honestly.
Ahead of the 2023 season, NFL owners approved a 1-year rule change that allowed returners to fair catch any kick behind their own 25-yard line and begin the possession of the 25. Only 22% of kickoffs were returned last season, and all 13 of the kickoffs in the Super Bowl resulted in touchbacks. So what's the XFL rule that the rumor is now they looked at that and they kind of like it, which I never thought the NFL would admit that they're going to take anything from anybody else. What's that rule? They all line up on the 20?
Yeah, I believe they all line up on like the 25, 30, and then the kicker I think is back where the regular where you kick off regularly.
Right.
And so when he kicks it off, the returner catches it, and once he touches the ball, that's when you can start making contact and going forward to make a play.
So the kickoff teams on the 35, like in like 10 yards in front of them. Is that right? Because they don't get a running start.
Correct. It's almost like, you know, when you were a kid and you played the electrical football game where they're all on a little stand. You know, I'm talking about you plug it in and it starts zapping.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. You line them up and then when you turn it on, it all start going at each other. Like, that's kind of what it looks like to me.
Okay. I just know, I mean, it's they want to get rid of the kickoffs and now they want to bring the kickoffs back but I think they don't want the full 40, 50-yard sprint down the field. I think that rule I kind of like. I mean, you get a 10-yard head start and then you run down. I just don't think the NFL would steal anything from anybody else.
I don't know. I really don't know what the NFL is trying to do with the kickoff. It's almost like they want to keep it for the sake of tradition with the NFL, but at the same time, like, they're looking at numbers and saying, this is just a useless play.
Right.
Like, somebody said, I forget who it was, but they were saying, you know, during the Super Bowl, it's just an inaugural play where you're starting something. That's it. And normally, it's a touchback. Like, I mean,
right.
It's almost to the point where just flip the coin flip and treat it like it's an overtime. Like, whoever gets the coin flip, that's who gets the ball first.
Well, I mean, yeah, very rarely, though, do we see, like, this take its life. A lot of people talk about this. The NFL asked special teams coordinators with creating a rule, this is from NFL.com, that both increases return rates and delivers an acceptable injury rate. The hope for all parties is this new rule would make the kickoff game exciting again, eliminating the speed and space that might result in higher injury rates while incentivizing teams to put the ball in play. So it's like, it's taken away from you. Now we're going to bring it back. And now we got to figure out something. So they're going to steal the XFL rule, which is fine. I like it. But, yeah, it's become boring and nobody, you know, they raise your hand up and next thing you know, I mean, you hit the ball at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I will go back just because it's very fresh in the brain. But over the weekend with the NRL, their little kickoff to do, it's similar to the NFL, but nothing out of the ordinary. They all start at, they go by meters. So it was at the 40-meter line, which is kind of like NFL. And then players, kind of like Canadian football, got a little bit of a head start. But other guys were kind of moving on the receiving end. So it's almost like they were both getting a head start at like hitting each other. And, you know, obviously the returner got it, and then they had their five downs to go 80 meters of the field, so-and-so.
Wait, what? We don't do meters here in America. How far is meters?
Conversion, I don't want to sound like a crazy head. I'm not great at math, but I'm probably going to say, like, I don't know.
We don't do meters.
I don't know. I know there was one guy, Reese Walsh, last season had, like, 3,600 meters or something to run. I think it came out to like 3,300 yards.
Okay.
So, like, it's not too far off.
I skipped the whole metric system in school. I was like, I'm not doing this.
I'm with you. I wasn't a big math guy. Everybody knows college algebra wasn't my strong suit. Thanks to Miss Arnold. Love that lady.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Nah, I'll pass.
Because of this rule, the most probably famous onside kick was in the Super Bowl between the Colts and the Saints when Sean Payton decided to onside kick the second half. They were down 10-6, and they got the ball. And then Jonathan Casillas with the Saints said, we were really excited when the coach made the call to do the onside kick. That changed everything. We're going to be aggressive, Sean Payton said. We've seen onside kick. We've been doing it all week long. Guys execute it, turn it by a big change of possession. That would not be allowed under these current rules because that was not in the fourth quarter. So 14 years later, NFL is trying to bring it back and taking the surprise out of a huge in-game decision that happens right there. I don't know. It's always interesting to me when they get together and think to change the rules and change the game. There's also a rule out there that says there might be proposing that holding is now going to be just 5 yards instead of 10 in the National Football League.
I don't know about that one, Joe. I think the NFL is kind of tampering with a little too much of their rules and just twisting it to – I don't want to say aid to certain teams. I'm not trying to name only one team, but I think multiple teams out there. I think the NFL is starting to aid to those that are bringing in the moolah, as some may say.
Well, you're right with that. All right, our question on the text line at 615-737-1025 is, you are the Titans GM. The combine is wrapping up. You know, everybody's done their thing. All that's going on. If the Titans stay at 7 and all the players are still there, Joe Wall, Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, where do you go? I mean, where do you go? And we heard from a lot of people this week when I was out and about, like, here's what I would do. And so a lot of interesting takes on this through the text line. Oh, by the way, Dr. Crane, Paul says Vegas is Chuck E. Cheese for adults.
That's what I said. See, he must have heard me. I didn't say it today, but I think I said it Thursday. And I also told it to Chase when we left on Friday evening.
Okay. Well, did you have fun out there, though?
Yeah, for the most part.
Did you see Chase?
Not while I was there, but we were on the flight together. So, I mean.
Did he act like he knew you or did he ignore you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He whispered, he goes, Dr. Crane.
Oh, like, goodness.
How are we doing, Chase? And Ricky, he goes, Nick, my man.
They're probably 8 tequila sunrises deep on that plane. Mike on the text line, there are reportedly multiple teams that want to trade up to the top 10 and take a quarterback. I say trade down to a couple spots and still take Joe Alt. Thank you, Michael. Ron says, you're playing Titans GM. I'm taking Brock Bowers. One, because he wants to play for us, and we can use a spark in that position. Two, he's a good blocker who could help the tackles. I'm telling you right now, don't take Brock Bowers at number 7. You can get him later on off that. Justin Ole Fashanu, from what I've heard about him, he could trend higher as a player than Joe Alt. I mean, that's probably splitting hairs, but I want to take a left tackle. That is such a cornerstone piece the Titans haven't had for a while, and they need to secure that spot for the future. All right, we got a lot of these rolling in now. 615-737-1025. What would you do if you're the Titans GM at number 7? I have told you guys, our great listening audience, what I would do. I'm doing a 180. And I'm going to tell you what my 180 is when we come back. You're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here. Brought to you by Regal Realty Group, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Perfect song for a Monday. Thank you, Dr. Crane. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by Regal Realty Group. Chaser's on vacation. We are taking your responses on our text line. You can call on either one. We don't care. 615-737-1025. Combine's over with. A lot of people now are focusing on the draft. Then we got free agency next Wednesday. You're the Titans GM today. We're throwing it out there. We're getting out there. We want to hear your opinion. Number seven, everything stays as it is. Who do you take? Do you go offensive lineman? Do you go wide receiver? Do you go tight end? Do you trade down? What do you do? We want to hear from you. Now, I've been adamant about getting a left tackle for the Titans. Just plug in all and go from there. Then I started going back looking. And I'm a big NFL history buff. I love the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and into the 90s of the NFL. I just love how the game has evolved and all that. Now, I was thinking about these great receivers with quarterbacks and how if they didn't have this receiver, how things would be perceived differently. I'm going to go back to the 49ers, okay? When Jerry Rice came to the league in 1985, he won three Super Bowls with the 49ers. He won two with Montana, one with Steve Young. How would that have been if the 49ers not had Jerry Rice? Now, you can't say, well, who knows that, you know, Bill Smith wouldn't have done that. I don't know that, but I'm telling you how we would perceive them differently if Jerry Rice is not on the team. Can you name the left tackle for the San Francisco 49ers? I can because I, you know, but can you off the top of your head? Many can, and that's okay. So go to the Cowboys of the 90s with Michael Irvin. Can you name the left tackle the Cowboys in the 90s? I know some of you can, but, you know, take Michael Irvin out of there. And, you know, they had Alvin Harper, Alexander Wright from Auburn back in the early 90s. Corey Fleming from Stratford here in Nashville and went to Tennessee. So, I mean, Michael Irvin was a game changer. And you just go on and on and on. You think about how these teams with these great receivers had it. So I was adamant about I want a left tackle for the Tennessee Titans. Then I started thinking, if Malik Nabers and watching some tape of him and just his speed and catching the ball and in traffic and making things happen, that'd be so dynamic. So I'm torn now. I'm like 51% I'm taking Malik Nabers if he's there. I'm 49% taking Joe Alt. I don't know. I mean, it would just – you see this guy running on the field, catching the ball and scoring touchdowns and then, you know, getting the crowd fired up and the players getting fired up and everything. So I've now gone 51-49 for Malik Nabers if he is there. Now, if he's gone and, you know, there's really not – there's a receiver you can get probably later down, I get that, then go after the tackle and do those. But you're the Titans GM today. I want to know what you're doing. 615-737-1025. By the way, Dr. Crane – something drove me crazy this weekend at the Combine. Another guy broke the 40 time, 4.21.
Yes.
A guy that I've kind of heard of but never heard of. I think the 40 time is so overrated at the Combine because you put somebody in front of that dude, he's not running a 4.2, right? And if he's that good, we would have heard about him going into. Jerry Rice ran a 4.65. I think Art Monk ran like a 4.8. One of the greatest receivers ever. I know times evolve and times change, but I just think we put way too much. Who was the guy, John Ross, that ran it from what ran a 4.25, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Terrible. I know he got injured, but he wasn't great at Washington. He blows the 40 away, and people are like, wow, look at that 40 time. I don't care. I don't care how fast you run. Can you catch the ball? So, to me, that's overrated.
Yeah, no, I agree. There was something, I think it was on the Robbie and Rexford, they mentioned, or it was a caller, Adam in Portland mentioned football speed. Players that are good with football speed.
Right.
And they obviously used the example of A.J. Brown. And, you know, that's what I look at is like, if you're a stocky guy at wide receiver, I'm not saying A.J. Brown, but I'm just saying,
right.
If you got some meat on your bones and you can catch a football and you're sub-5, sub-4.6, you're in good shape to be a I wouldn't say average wide receiver, but above average wide receiver that's going to be lasting in the league for roughly 7, 8 years.
And I always like, well, you got to stretch a defense. All right, but you know what? How many times did Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis throw the ball over 40 yards last year? I mean, I'm sure they did, you know, but it's not like every other play. They didn't do it that much. No team does it that much. I want a guy who can run a precise route 12, 15, 18 yards and beat the DB and catch the ball. That's what I want to see.
And if you don't have that, then – your offense is going to be one-dimensional.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. I Googled the best all-time number one quarterback receiver duo touchdown-wise in the National Football League, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. So you look at these great quarterbacks, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, only played together 6 seasons. Steve Young and Jerry Rice played together 9 seasons. So every great quarterback needs a Batman needs a Robin, right? I mean, every quarterback, Terry Bradshaw had Lynn Swann. I'm going through these lists right now, these guys. Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry, who, by the way, lives down in Murfreesboro. Great tandem in there. Kurt Warner and Torrey Holt. Marino and Clayton. Now, somebody's like, well, he didn't win a Super Bowl. But look, man, he had these receivers that went with him, that grew with him, and you need that right now. And I think, oh, man, I think Will Levis needs a receiver.
So I'm leaning that way as well. So you're saying, Big Joe, let me clarify, that Will Levis needs a Robin for his Batman.
Correct. So I think now you go out in free agency and try to find a good left tackle if you can. I don't know who's out there. Just try to find one who's good. You got Bill Callahan now. You can bring him in. He can try to turn it around and make him play better. So I think you find a decent tackle, left tackle, a decent left tackle during free agency. This is me, and I don't know anything. But then go out and get the Malik Nabers who could change that offense, add another dynamic piece of the. That's me. And look, Dr. Cram, I've been adamant about grabbing a left tackle to protect him. But if you can get a decent one in free agency, then I think you go full throttle for a receiver.
Now, what if both of them were there? Joe Alt and Malik Nabers.
Why are you doing this to me?
I'm sorry. It's Monday. I'm starting it off hot.
I'm going for Malik Nabers. Yeah.
Really?
Adam in Portland says, we need speed, Joe. Draft a fast wide receiver to open up our whole offense for Levis. A tackle is a second choice. Would honestly love for his left tackle to be our big money spend in free agency. I agree, Adam in Portland. I think go out and find that guy, left tackle in free agency, and plug him in, and then get that receiver, man. And you hit the field in September. And Nabers, if he's there, or whomever, I mean, if you get a good receiver, they could be there, then you move forward there. 7008 says they need to draft the kid that ran the 4.21 in the 40-yard dash. Absolutely not. Have you ever heard this guy before he ran the 40-yard dash?
Xavier Worthy, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've heard of him, but it's not like you turn on sports and you're like, good Lord, look at this guy go. No.
No, there was an article that came out, I think it was within the last 24 hours or the last 2-3 days or so, something like that, about, I think it was, they're basically blaming Michigan for tampering with Xavier Worthy not going to X school instead of going to the school he went to, which was Texas.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of the big headline that I've seen recently.
Yeah, but it's nothing like, you know, he torched Texas Tech for this touchdown.
Oh, yeah. No 300-400-yard game. No,
right.
Not at all.
Chip from Mount Juliet. Two things on you, Chip. Chip says, if you don't have a blocking for the quarterback, wide receiver is a moot point. I understand that. Better part, though, Chip, is that you spelled moot point correctly because it's M-O-T. Thank you. Somebody earlier spelled it mute point, M-U-T-E. That is incorrect. So, Chip, thank you for texting correctly to our text line. We love you, man. Sean says, there's no available left tackle in free agency. You won't find one. I don't know if that's accurate. I'm sure Jared Stillman would know that. Listen to him afternoon from 2 to 6.
A good plug-and-play left tackle, probably so, is not out there. But I think a good transitional left tackle or some sort of offensive lineman out there that can be a utility man at that position I think would be fine. Because, like you said, bring in Bill Callahan, a supposed guru at the offensive line, teaching the game itself.
Yeah.
I personally, in my opinion, if the Titans were to go after a Robin to the Batman for Will Levis, and if it is Malik Nabers to some regard, I think you could just wait till the second round or third round or whatever to get a potential youth left tackle out there. I mean, if the Titans are really invested into their, analytic department and scouting, there's going to be a guy out there for them in the second or third round that they can turn into this, phenomenal player going forward.
Right. All right, we'll continue to take your text on the text line, 615-737-1025. You are the Titans general manager. Now keep it here because Jim Wyatt, the great Jim Wyatt, who covers and works for the Tennessee Titans, will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the combine, a lot of things that went on this past week up in Indianapolis. He'll join us next. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by Regal Realty Group, 1025, 1063, The Game.
And you're the best thing.
I feel bad interrupting the great Anita Baker, but we know this is the intro music for the one and only, the talented, the incredible Mr. Jim Wyatt, who joins us now. Jim, good morning. This is for you.
Hey, I appreciate the Anita Baker bringing that in, bringing it back to my days when I was college Casanova playing a little Anita Baker.
I will tell you that our esteemed producer, Dr. Crane, is also a proud Father Ryan graduate. So there you go.
But that's good stuff. Well, it's good to see Father Ryan represented here on 102.5 The Game today.
It is. Jim, now, first of all, before we get into anything, I know the passing of Chris Mortensen this weekend. I know you've covered the NFL for a long time. You've dealt with Chris in a lot of ways. Just what a terrible loss for his family, but for NFL, because he's one of the true, Jim, I think, insiders that really started that term insider back in the day.
Yeah, that's the truth. Him and John Clayton, and now both of them are gone. It's really sad. I saw a post last night that just showed, you know, I guess it was Stuart Scott, John Sanders, and John Clayton, Morton Anderson, you know, four guys that we kind of grew up watching on ESPN, and now all of them gone too soon. And Chris Mortensen was a really nice guy on top of everything else. He was, you know, back when I was at the Tennessean, you know, I was – ultra competitive and get kind of consumed with the job and tried to break any story I could on the beat. And I was competing with guys like Chris Mortensen back then, and he got me on some but then there were some I got him on, and he always was very nice to me and had some nice things to say when he'd see me. His son, Alex, I don't know if you remember, played for the Titans.
Yeah.
He was with them during the preseason one year, and it was a year that they were in the Hall of Fame game up in Canton, Ohio. And I'll never forget seeing Chris Mortensen in the press box that day because his son was going to play in the game, and he was such a proud, proud father and so proud of his son. But he was just always very approachable, always just a gentleman. And I think he did it in a classy way. I mean, there are people in this business who are trying to get attention and have different ways of doing it. He was never like that. He just delivered the news, was a classy guy, and certainly had a big impact on a lot of people.
Amen to that. Talking to Jim Wyatt this morning. Jim, before we get into the combine, and you've talked to these draft, you know, hopefully draft choices and everything that goes on there, we had Rand Carthon on the show last week, and we asked, hey, how much do you get asked about Derrick Henry? He says, I get that more than I get, hey, good morning to you. So it's all the talk. I'm reading your mailbag, people talking about it. I mean, can you recall with something like this with Derrick Henry where, you know, the fans would love to have him back, but we understand that it is a business. Things happen. Guys move on. But I got to think you were getting just kind of inundated with this question about Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I am. I mean, because he's probably one of the most popular guys. No question, he's one of the most popular guys that's ever played for this franchise, and just beloved by the fans, and you know, just the way he's handled himself as a player, but also in the community. You know, he's been great for me dealing with him over the years, and now here the team is a little bit of a crossroads, and same with Derrick. I mean, he's now you know. Contract's up. He's 30 years old. We all know, you know, what the lifespan is of running backs in the NFL. He's certainly shown that he still can get the job done. But you've got a new coach and a new offense that is not going to run the ball like it has in years past. There's going to be a new identity. So does that fit? I mean, do these two sides fit anymore? And I, when I'm asked about Derrick and what I think will happen, I always point to what I think he thinks is going to happen, because he wouldn't have handled himself like he did the last game of the year against Jacksonville at Nissan Stadium, kind of grabbing the mic and saying goodbye and thanking the fans, and then kind of having a 2-minute speech afterward where he thanked everyone. I think he thinks that his time is up, and it's sad in a lot of ways, but that's the NFL, and I always will wish him the best and remember him as one of the best players in this franchise's history. And I'm not saying that's officially done yet, but I've just been around long enough to kind of get a feel on these things. And again, I think that's the feel Derrick has.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, what a consummate pro since the day he arrived here back in 2016, talking to Jim White. Jim, I love every Monday you put on your mailbag the mock drafts that go on. And, you know, it's usually, you know, we'll look at a lot of the guys overwhelming Joe Alt, Malik Nabers. I mean, these are some choices. It's, you know, it's, you don't want to be in the position every year at number 7 to pick a player like that, obviously. But, you know, we go back and forth on the show. It's almost 50-50, Jim, about a left tackle, wide receiver. Whoever the left tackle is, whoever the wide receiver is, you know, it's a 50-50 question on that. And I got to think as well, you're getting asked all the time, Jim, what do you think, left tackle or wide receiver? And the question's just going to keep on coming until draft day, I think.
Yeah, and I always – and people might think it's a cop-out, but it's the truth. Like, it's hard to say what they're going to do in the draft until you've gone through free agency. I mean, what happens if the Titans make a move and go out and get a receiver somehow between now and the draft? Or what happens if they're able to land a guy who you would project as a starting left tackle? Then your needs change a little bit, and maybe the way you look at things change. And that's why these mock drafts, yeah, it's fun. People love to look at them, but they're silly in February and March because, because you know, again, once free agency happens, teams across the league are going to go out and start filling some of these needs. And then what people have projected going to those teams now is not going to be the same in April. So I think we'll see what plays out. I mean, I think the Titans are fortunate in that this year's draft is loaded at left tackle and receiver, which two of these teams' biggest needs. And now the question is what do they do between now and then? Who's still left on the board when they pick? Best case scenario, again, is these quarterbacks all go early, and then you've really got your pick of the litter. And then you got to consider, you know, if it is such a good draft and so deep at both those spots, do you consider trading out of 7, drop back a little bit? You're still going to be able to get a really good player, and you could get a good pick, and then you could really start to load up. So a lot of things in play, a lot of things to consider.
Somebody want me to ask you this. Is because Caleb Williams is perceived to go 1 or 2, do the Titans waste any time in draft research doing their due diligence on a Caleb Williams when you know he's going to go the first 1 or 2? And I never thought about it. That's an interesting question because you don't think he's going to be there at 7, but you got to do just a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think so. But even listening to him, he was pretty clear there. And you said Caleb Williams. I'll just kind of speak specifically about him. But, you know, he made it pretty clear that he's not going to waste his time with a lot of teams that are really not QB needy. So I don't know if that's going to show up in his pre-draft visits or whether that's shown up a lot in Indy with the conversations that he had. I think you always do your due diligence on players. Yeah, you're not going to bring them to town for one of your visits, but I think it's always good to talk to players I'll pull away from him now. You know, the reason you talk to some of these guys, even if it's not necessarily need or even though you might pick them, is just because you don't know what's going to happen down the road.
Right. And
so it's good to know the player and good to know background on them, good to kind of get thoughts from them. I can't imagine, you know, they took Caleb Williams to try to take him out to dinner at St. Elmo's on over the weekend.
Right.
But certainly somebody with the team will have some kind of contact with most everybody in this draft. And that's kind of the funny thing about the combine and what drives you crazy about covering it is anytime these guys have a media availability, the questions are, have you met with the Cowboys? Have you met with the Bengals? Have you met with the Chiefs? Have you met with the Raiders? Like, that's the different question. And the answer is usually yes, because between now and the draft, most of these guys have talked to every team just because they're at their pro day, their college seasons, practices, or at the combine, or at the senior bowl. It's just an exhausting process where everybody gets contacted.
I bet it is, including for somebody who's got to cover all that, including yourself. You spoke to Joe Alt, I reckon, and how was that? I mean, I know you can't, you know, say how are you going to, you know, play out in the next 5 to 7 years, but his thoughts on coming here and maybe getting drafted by the Titans?
Well, I mean, it's funny. He wrapped up, and I thought, that's Peter Skoronski. I mean, he's got the same just kind of, personality. He's got the same NFL background where it's in his family. He's got the same good reputation coming out. And I think he'd be a really good pick at number 7. You know, he's an electrical engineer major. Talked to some of the guys at Notre Dame that covered him. Said he really never really got beat his whole college career, except for a time where he got his foot stepped on and he fell down, and then he kind of kidded about that. I mean, he's a clean prospect, really good player, but Is he the pick? I don't know. I thought it was interesting. And then, again, there's so many smoke screens, and it's hard to read into what people are saying sometimes. But, you know, Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon, both at the combine, you know, and Callahan is the one that said it, but he said, hey, if it's all things are equal, you know, I want guys who can score touchdowns, when he was talking about the linemen and the receivers. So that was a little nugget that people jumped at and thought, is it Alt, or is it one of these receivers, or Fashanu, another big guy from Penn State, pretty attractive too.
Yeah, oh, exactly. I want to get you a few more minutes with Jim White here this morning on the Chasing Big Joe show. You've covered that combine. You know, I've been up there with you doing that. I always go back to, you know, you always have those combine heroes, that the guys that stand out and you fall in love with. I always go back to the 2007 with Chris Henry, Jim, when the combine, you know, I mean, just this Adonis, this Greek god and everything, and was just an awful player for the Titans. My question is, have the coaches and kind of GMs learned from mistakes like that in the past? Like, look, you're great at the combine, but we need to see what your tape was during the regular season when you played college football.
Yeah, that's the way I think of it. I think, you know, when you start on this, you're going to say Chris Johnson, because he, because of his fast 4.24 time. And
right.
Chris Henry is also one of those guys that people fall in love with because of their times and didn't have a great track record. I think with Arizona, if I remember correctly, and he just didn't have, I mean, his stats weren't great, and this wasn't very productive. And he got to Tennessee, and you look at him, he looks like a physical specimen, but he just didn't have a great knack for running, running the football. I mean, I think somebody nicknamed him Cockroach because he ran the darkness, I think which was kind of unfair to bring that up all these years later. But he just didn't have the instincts to be a real productive player. So, Xavier Worthy, at Texas, ran a 4.21 over the weekend.
Right.
And certainly it helped his draft stock. But then when I looked at the list of the fastest 40 times at the combine, there's not a lot, weren't necessarily Hall of Famers on that list, which means you can't fall in love with the guy just because of his 40 times. So it's always the most important thing to me is what the guy did in college. I'm not a scout, but, you know, you got to be careful not to fall in love with the guy just because he jumps high or he runs fast or he does the three cone drill.
Right.
It's all about what happens on the field. You got to factor some of that other stuff in, but, it's all part of the puzzle.
It is. You know, it's funny, in 2008 when they took Chris Johnson, I remember when I was at Channel 2 and with Corey Curtis, and we were like, we had all these players ready for the videotape when they draft and they go on the news, and we didn't have Chris Johnson in our file. I mean, it was one of those things where he goes to the combine, he shows out, they interview him, they love him. You saw what he did here. But Chris Johnson was one guy that I don't think anybody had him going to the Titans in 2008.
Yeah, I will say this. I do remember Frank Wycheck having Chris Johnson going to the Titans in 2008.
Nice.
And I give him props for that. That was 2008, wasn't it? I
guess
all these years mixed up.
Right.
And I will say this. You do enough mock drafts, you're going to get lucky on one. And I actually did a mock draft with a Jacksonville radio station leading up to that draft. And I gave Chris Johnson to the Titans in that draft as well. And they always remind me, you know, what a great pick that was. I didn't tell them that I'd probably done three or four and given other players to the Titans and those. But I just in Jacksonville, they thought I was had great knowledge because I nailed the Chris Johnson pick.
Yeah, just throwing the name out there to get off the radio and do that. Jim, as always, thank you. Tell your wonderful father we said hello. We're thinking about him. And, Jim, we always appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Appreciate you having me on. Good talking to you.
Yes, sir. Jim White, TitansOnline.com. Go read all the stuff there. By far the nicest writer in the world. I will tell you this right now. That guy is the best. Thank you, Jim, for doing it. All right, we're taking your questions still. You heard from Jim. What do you think? You are the Titans general manager. What are you going to do now that the fact that the combine is wrapping up? You've heard from all the players and the people up there. What are you going to do? 615-737-1025. Let us know that you are the Titans general manager. This is a Chasing Big Joe show right here. Brought to you by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Many thanks to Jim Wyatt for checking in with us. Love talking to Jim on the front line of everything going on with the Tennessee Titans up at the Combine. Jim has been, since the season ended, he went to the Pro Bowl, then to the Senior Bowl, or back and forth, Senior Bowl, Pro Bowl, whatever it is, and then to the Super Bowl, and then the Combine. He hasn't been home in Nashville since like 2013. Anyway, Jim, thanks for all your time, buddy, for doing that. Big news in NFL today. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have signed five-time Pro Bowl receiver Mike Evans, reached agreement on a two-year, $52 million contract that includes $35 million guaranteed. His agent told ESPN on Monday, Evans, who is to enter free agency next week, now has a real chance, according to Adam Schefter, to start and finish career as a Buck for life. So you could say that he's a Buckies. Gilmore said the deal, his agent, averages $26 million per season, is the largest for a wide receiver this old on his third contract. Let me speak to you guys for a second. This whole he's old, let me stop with that right there. Didn't, you know, hasn't LeBron showed you at 40 years old what you could do? Didn't Brady show you into his mid-40s what you could do? I know these are athletes, and they work hard and they train their bodies hard, but let's just stop with the whole, oh, he's too old, he's too old. Somebody like Kevin Byard got released by the Eagles the other day. Like, well, he's too old to continue in the National Football League. Kevin Byard would knock your block off harder than 98% of the safeties in the league continuing right now. I'd love to have a Kevin Byard on my team. Look, Ronnie Lott lost several steps in his career towards the end. He was still the most feared and devastating safety in the National Football League. So just stop with all this. You know, largest contract receiver this old on his third. Who cares? If you can conform and get the job done, do it. So tired. You know, I'll tell you this. Prince, who is probably the greatest musician ever walked planet Earth, had a birthday coming up one time, and he was going to turn 40. And this reporter said, hey, how are you going to celebrate your birthday later this week? And Prince says, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, you got a birthday coming up. And Prince says, I do. And the guy's like, oh, you're kidding. You know you got a birthday. And Prince's like, no, I don't. He's like, you don't know you got a birthday? He's like, no. He's like, do you know how old you are? He's like, some people tell me, but I don't believe it. He's like, why don't you know how old you are? He goes, because society tells you, once you hit a certain age, you got to act this way. If, you know, you're 30, you got to do this. You're 35, you're 40. So I stopped celebrating age and birthday. I was like, man, that's beautiful. I know we are, you know, our age. We all know how old we are. But stop thinking that, well, I reached 50. It's over now. I mean, it's done. Or I'm 40 and I'm not where I'm supposed to. Stop it. Please stop it. You're never too old to start anything. You're never too old to do anything. So stop saying that. So hope Mike Evans can play three or four more years in the National Football League and show everybody that it's okay. Look at LeBron. Look at these guys still going strong, man. Just take care of your mind, your body, and say your prayers at night. All right, Dr. Crane, are we up against the break, buddy?
We are.
Yeah, you're standing pointing at me, so we got to do that. All right, we'll take a break in the 10 o'clock hour. Give me a conversation about the Combine, the Titans. You're the GM. Who are you going to pick? We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025 at 1030. The great Pete Weber will join us as your Nashville Predators are on an 8-game winning streak. They are the talk hockey right now. We'll talk to Pete at 1030. Looking forward to talking to Pete at 1030. And, of course, celebrity birthday is coming away at 1045. All right, take a break. Be right back. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by Regal Realty Group. 102.5, 106.3 of the game.